The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, Canada. Here's you at Live Inside the Beltway on the 21st day of September 2022. I am troubled this morning. The lead story, the only story, is that Vladimir Putin has threatened to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine and said he is not bluffing. Let me go immediately to that news. Wall Street Journal. In a major escalation of the war in Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin raised the threat of a nuclear response in conflict in Ukraine, ordered reservists to mobilize as Moscow seeks to buttress his army's flagging manpower and regain the offensive following stinging losses on the battlefield. Russia will use all the instruments at its disposal to counter a threat against its territorial integrity. This is not a bluff. That's a quote. This is not a bluff. Mr. Putin said in a national address that he blamed the West for the conflict in Ukraine. He said troops were facing the best of Western troops and weapons. The speech is the clearest sign yet that 7 months into the biggest conflict in Europe since World War II, Russia is unable to counter Ukraine in the West, which has largely united behind Kyiv in the face of the Russian invasion. Without providing evidence, Mr. Putin said top officials of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization have said it would be acceptable to carry out nuclear strikes on Russia. He also blamed Ukraine for strikes against the nuclear power plant in one of their regions, which has been occupied by Russian troops since near the start of the war. To those who allow themselves such statements, I would like to remind them, Russia also has many types of weapons of destruction, the components of which are in some cases more modern than those of the countries of NATO, said Mr. Putin in his speech. Mr. Putin cast the partial mobilization as a response to what he called a decades-long Western plot to break up Russia. He repeated false accusations that the West had stirred rebellion inside the country's borders, armed terrorist rebels in the Muslim-dominated South, arranged a coup in Ukraine in 2014 and transformed Ukraine into an anti-Russian bridgehead, turning the Ukrainians themselves into cannon fodder. Following the speech, the United States dollar rose to a 20-year high, and European stocks declined. And on the PBS NewsHour, Turkey's President Erdogan sort of rejoined NATO with this declaration of his intentions to the end of the war. Cut number 24, please.
Since 2014, we have been talking to my dear friend Putin about this, and this is what we have requested from him. We asked him to return Crimea to its rightful owners. These are our descendants at the same time, the people who are living there. If you were to take this step forward, if you could leave us, you would also be relieving the Crimean Tatars and Ukraine as well. That's what we have always been saying. But since then, unfortunately, no step has been taken forward.
Now, when Erdogan says that, my dear friend Putin, he's trying to signal what Modi of India and Xi of China signaled. Look, you know, we get along well with you, but you're not in our clubhouse anymore. Putin is now isolated and threatening to use nuclear weapons. I'd like your phone call reactions. 1-800-520-1234. There really is no other story. I've got lots of other stories. The special master said this. The Trump people have to put up or shut up on the declassification defense. There's a lot of news that ordinarily, I mean, the Cleveland Indians beat the White Sox last night 11-7 in 11 innings, 10-7 in 11 innings, and their magic number is down to 9. They have the tiebreaker with the White Sox, so they can't manage this. So there's lots of news I would do on a normal happy day, but it's not every day that you wake up and see, one of the world's most tyrannical, vicious people who happens to have thousands of nuclear weapons threaten to use them. Indeed, I've been doing this show for 23 years, and there's never been a threat like that in 23 years. And I'm sure Democratic strategists are thinking, oh, it's 1962. The Cuban Missile Crisis was good for political gains, but Biden isn't. Blinken isn't. General Austin isn't. That's a big deal. Jake Sullivan is up burning the midnight candle. That's a big deal. They're getting reports on, is there any mobilization of Russia's arsenal? Is there any kind of indication that it's a tactical nuke intended to destroy Kharkiv? 1-800-520-1234. I had been ready to do a story on chess this morning because there's a chess scandal involving Hans Niemann, who he's a 19-year-old, Bobby Fischer. He's the next Bobby Fischer, and he's tearing up the international chess circuit. And a fellow named Carlsen got mad after one move and left. I think that's just kind of interesting because chess is interesting every 40 years. The other stories, Times of Israel reporting that mean global sea levels could rise by a half meter, 1.6 feet by 2050, 2 meters by 2100, and 5 meters, 16 feet, by 2150 if global emissions continue to rise. All right. Normally, I kick that around and say, are you really worried? Is anyone buying anything on the Outer Banks, 16 feet? Sea levels, that's a lot of sea level. That's under Manhattan. But that's not immediate. Republican attorney generals of 24 states are warning Visa, MasterCard, American Express to stop identifying which purchases are from gun shops. That's a takedown of ESG. In Minneapolis, remember, Minneapolis is in Minnesota. Minnesota has a Democratic governor, Tim Walz, and a Democratic attorney general, Keith Ellison. And the Justice Department said they had charged 47 people with running a brazen fraud that stole $240 million from the government for meals from impoverished people that they did not provide. It is a state-administered program. So, Minnesotans, your government, run by Tim Walz and Keith Ellison, did not detect a $240 million fraud scheme. $240 million. All right, to the phone. Jerry in Virginia, what do you think?
Good morning, Hugh. I think this threat of use of nuclear weapons, whether it's tactical nukes or full-scale nukes, would trigger a full NATO intervention, and I think that's what we need to signal. In fact, I think Admiral Stavridis has hinted at that in some of his writings. But not only that it would be a full-scale intervention on land, but the isolation of Russia, both in the Black Sea and in the Baltic, I think that he needs to be prepared for a multinational response, and that's what we need to be signaling to him.
This is, by the way, Captain Jerry Hendricks, who didn't tell me that, the author of To Protect and Defend, and the critical quick read on U.S. strategery on the water. So, Jerry Hendricks, what would NATO do right away, in your view? I mean, I've never heard. Have you? Am I right? No one's ever made this kind of a threat before?
Well, I think he's hinted at this. He's been talking about escalate to de-escalate for the better part of 10 years now as a means of trying to signal to us that he would use tactical nukes in order to force us to stand down. But I think what, in fact, it would do is, instantaneously we would have a no-fly zone. Fourth and fifth generation NATO aircraft would be over Ukraine, making sure that Russia is not, and that we would see the introduction of NATO land forces. Certainly the Poles would be there instantly, and then we would have to fall in behind, and we began pre-positioning troops over the last 6 months to do just that. So I think if he escalates, we would be on the ground in Ukraine.
And what would happen to their Black Sea fleet? I mean, a nuclear weapon is a different thing.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a dramatic increase. And so I think their Black Sea fleet, if it was at sea, it would be sunk. And otherwise, it would be locked in port. It would not be getting out of its ports. And quite frankly, so would its Baltic Sea. If NATO becomes engaged, Russia loses the Baltic and the Black, and it will be isolated geographically.
But I don't see this administration doing anything except wringing their hands publicly. And I don't expect you to comment on that. You're a professional. But I just don't see them doing anything that would signal that.
Yes.
All right, Captain. Thank you. Let me get some more shocked responses. John in Michigan. What do you think of Putin, John?
Hi, Hugh. I'm not surprised by this. In fact, I fully expected this. With the wimp we have in the White House, and the weak military leadership that we've seen recently in Afghanistan, with Putin posing himself with China right now, I mean, I saw this coming. I don't know how they couldn't see it coming.
Weakness is provocative, Ronald Reagan. And boy, it has provoked Putin now to threaten the use of nuclear weapons. Waking up to the worst saber rattling of my lifetime. I'll be right back. America, stay tuned. From number one New York Times bestselling author Vince Flynn comes Oath of Loyalty. Mitch Rapp confronts a very different kind of killer in the explosive new thriller in the bestselling Vince Flynn series, written by Kyle Mills. In the game of politics, some ties must be severed, but the Oath of Loyalty can never be broken. Oath of Loyalty by Vince Flynn, now available wherever books are sold. Go buy it today. I had a chance to interview the author Kyle Mills, so go to my podcast to listen to that full interview. Oath of Loyalty by Vince Flynn. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'm joined by Tom Weiler. Tom is an old friend of mine. He's also a Navy submariner, retired now, who is running for Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District. He's a perfect guest this morning as I talk about Putin's threat against us last night. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. It's a pleasure to be on with you this morning and to be able to talk to you and your listeners.
Let's tell people first where the 3rd District is in Minnesota, who you are running against, and how the race stands.
Well, the 3rd District in Minnesota is the western suburbs, basically, of Minneapolis. I'm running against Congressman Dean Phillips, a self-proclaimed moderate who's voted 100% of the time with President Biden and Speaker Pelosi in their failed agenda. And it's a suburban district that actually was Republican for about 50 straight years. Until 4 years ago, Congressman Phillips pulled one out of the hat and brought it over to the Democratic side. But it's a district that I think is ready for the Republicans to take back. It's a business centric district with a lot of sort of pragmatic independent voters at its core, along with that conservative base. And the two issues that are really impacting, obviously, all Minnesotans and all Americans: inflation and crime. The 40% of those in the district who identify as independent definitely believe that conservative principles are the way to attack those two issues affecting all Americans. So I think we're in great shape this November 8th to get a victory up there in Minnesota's 3rd District and bring conservative Midwestern values to D.C. to represent the great folks in Minnesota.
Now, I want to spell out the website, WeilerForCongress.com, WEILERFORCongress.com. There might be a submariner who's a Steelers fan and will not be able to get that. So I'm going to do it again. WEILERFORCongress.com, WEILERFOR, WEILERFORCongress.com. Is the district a D+5, a D+2? What is it, Tom Weiler?
I think it's a D+6, I think is the latest I saw. And I was just at an event actually last night with Congressman Emmer. He has been very supportive, of course, the chairman of the NRCC. And he was explaining, that anything from an D+8, I think, is basically even ground at this point coming up to this election because of the momentum that Republicans have across the voting spectrum, but specifically on independent voters and the failed policies of the Biden agenda, specifically crime, inflation, and the border. A lot of moderate independent voters back to the Republican side.
I just mispronounced your name again, Tom Weiler, and we were neighbors for a while, so I shouldn't do that. But, that's just what I do on the radio. Tom, people need to know story. You are a submariner. Would you tell people your service? Because I got to talk to you about Putin's threat last night, because all of a sudden, every submariner under the water all over the world's on alert.
Yes, sir. And real quick, if people want to vote for Wheeler or Weiler, I'll take votes for both. I was a submariner for 20 years. All things equal, I thought I'd still be driving submarines, in the South China Sea or the Mediterranean, but I got a medical curveball with Parkinson's a few years back. The submarine community is definitely, it's a different world this morning than it was last night, and that's unfortunate, but sort of a series of unforced errors here, I think, by the Biden administration has contributed to where we are with the crises in Ukraine. Clearly, Mr. Putin is ultimately responsible for the tragedy occurring right there, the current war, and we do need smart, pragmatic, common sense leadership to bring this crisis to a resolution and stop the bloodshed.
Tom, will you remind people, were you attack submarines or boomers?
I was on 3 fast attack submarines, all based out of Pearl Harbor, and then I was the executive officer on USS Michigan, which is an SSGN, so that's a former boomer converted into a steel delivery platform and a TLAM shooter, tactical land attack missile shooter. So I have a lot of operational experiences on the Western Pacific and Indian Oceans.
So how many, you know, we don't know how many submarines we've got in the Black Sea or the Mediterranean right now, but they would be engaged immediately. What do you think happens if Putin follows through on this, Tom? I don't think I'm 66. I don't remember Nikita Khrushchev in 1962. That's the last Cuban Missile Crisis. I don't remember anyone making a nuclear threat like this. Do you?
No, not at all. And like I said, it's a different world. And the biggest thing we have to do now is just make sure the United States is using every resource, every card in the deck to prevent any type of nuclear exchange, clearly, including, you know, a tactical nuke by President Putin. I think we need to make it clear to him that any use of nuclear weapons is completely unacceptable. And we need to ramp up our isolation of Russia and our diplomatic and economic isolation, including if China wants to continue to buy natural gas and oil and Europe. The resources that come into Putin and Russia on those sales, they need to be cut off if we really want to start, pushing back on Putin's aggression here. So I think we need to ramp those things up, and those are going to have drastic consequences to our economy. But those consequences failed to compare to the tragedy that would occur if there was any exchange of nuclear weapons.
Now, Tom Weiler is who I'm talking to. He's running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, longtime naval officer, submariner. And he needs your help at Tom Weiler for, I want to make sure I get the website right. It is WeilerForCongress.com, WeilerForCongress.com. I'm sure you're being outraged. Are you getting the resources you need, Tom?
Yes, we are getting outraised, and unfortunately for me, Congressman Dean Phillips has a pot of family money to the tune of about $120 million. So we're fighting an uphill battle on the financial front. But with that said, we're getting a good surge in fundraising right now because it's clear in our recent polling that this race is right there for the taking. So, you know, the more money we have to get our message out, we're really confident that if we can get our message out, about our story, our policies, our principles. And the biggest thing is contrast that to Congressman Dean Phillips and his 100% voting record with the Biden agenda. And he says the word moderate, but bottom line, he doesn't vote moderate at all. He's voted against law enforcement, voted to effectively defund the police, and voted for over $4 trillion worth of spending that has, helped spur inflation. So we think if we get our message out, the great folks in Minnesota's 3rd District, who are smart, pragmatic voters, are gonna join our team to turn the ship around in our district and in the country.
Now, Tom, I'm on AM 1280, The Answer in the Patriot in the Twin Cities, so people can listen to me every day. They can also help you walk a precinct. They can help you get out the vote early. Minnesota actually starts voting a week from Friday. What are you doing about the early voting?
Yeah, and actually, it's if I'm getting my days right, in 2 days, the 23rd of September, actually. So,
oh, my gosh. I thought it was next Friday. Okay.
No. Unfortunately, in Minnesota, you know, voting season's just about as long as our high school football season. But but we are, with that said, we're engaging with as many folks as we can right now to make sure people are informed voters. The Star Tribune did run at least candidate sort of profiles in the Star Trib this morning. Unfortunately, Congressman Dean Phillips is following the Biden tradition of hiding in the basement when it comes to debates. We did have one debate scheduled for the state fair, and he pulled out of that. So we do have up to 3 debates scheduled with Congressman Phillips, and we're hoping to get those scheduled sooner rather than later. Just so the great Minnesotans in the 3rd understand the 2 options here, understand there's 2 different paths forward, and really, you know, the significant differences in policies, principles, and experience and leadership between myself and Congressman Phillips.
Oh, it couldn't be bigger. It couldn't be bigger. But I do want the whole national audience to understand, if you're given $10, $25, $50, $100 to a congressional candidate, go for a race that if we win, it's doable. I think anything that's actually D plus 10 is doable. You're only D plus 6. It's very doable because Tom is a wonderful candidate. His wife and kids are wonderful people. They love to campaign. I see him whenever I come to Minnesota, and it's a lot of fun, Tom. You're doing a good job as a first-time candidate. How do you feel about it?
We're very optimistic. In fact, my 5 and 7 year old, we taped our first commercial last week, so they were loving life, but they got to even miss school for a half a day. And yeah, my whole family, and my parents, brothers, sisters, sort of the whole Weiler group back in Minnesota is all fully engaged, and we're enjoying it. And honestly, just talking to the folks in Minnesota's third district, and I do feel they feel inspired by our message and excited about the future of America, because our big message is, you know, to turn the ship around in Minnesota. It's not to abandon ship. The ship's not taking on water. The American dream doesn't need to be redefined. We just need to turn the direction we're going and ensure that the American dream is protected for generations to come.
Weiler for Congress. It's the lead tweet at HughHewitt.com right now. If you just go over to my Twitter thing, you can find it and help out Tom, because we need another submariner in the Congress. I don't even know if we have any submariners in the Congress. 5 seconds, Tom. Do we have any other submariners in the Congress?
Not that I'm aware of, so I'm looking to represent the submarine community in Congress.
That we need one. We need many. I told Leader McCarthy he needs to have half of his caucus be veterans of the long war. He's getting there. Tom Wheeler will be another step forward. Thank you, Tom. Don't go anywhere, America, except to WheelerForCongress.com. Come right back to the Hugh Hewitt Show on this Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. This is Dwayne Patterson, producer of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I've known for a while now that there's been far too much of me here in the studio, and I finally needed to do something about my weight. My excuse was always that I couldn't follow a plan with the crazy schedule that I keep. I heard about PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and how they customize their program for each client, and I decided to call. This was no problem for Rachel and the PhD team. They had me map out what my day looks like and created a plan to follow. And so far, I've lost 16 pounds already, and I'm just 2 weeks in, on the way to my goal of losing 45. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition at 864-644-1900 and make your appointment for your consultation. The plan is simple. It's based on science and nutrition. There's no pills or injections, and they even include 80% of your food if you want it. Call them right now at 864-644-1900 or find them online at myphdweightloss.com. And tell them you heard about it from Dwayne, the producer Hugh actually has on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. The number one story of the day, and I'm taking phone calls about it, is that Putin has threatened to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. He did so last night in a national address. And Putin's nuts. It was crazy to attack Ukraine. His military has lied to him about the effectiveness of the military. They've lost, according to General Kellogg, to me in the green room at Fox. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me quoting him. He's lost between 75 and 80,000 Russian young men. He's going to draft 300,000. This is in 7 months. He's lost 75,000. The United States casualty, that includes KIA and wounded, is under 50,000 for 20 years of war in two places, Iraq and Afghanistan. Russia has lost 75,000 casualties in 7 months. And so Putin is threatening nuclear weapons in Ukraine. What would he do? He's also said last night in a completely, look, it's not necessarily unhinged to lie to your people when you're a dictator. He said last night that the Ukrainians had attacked the nuclear site, the nuclear power plant that his Russian troops occupy. We know this. The Russian people probably know this. Russian commentators who are afraid of getting, you know, their throats cut in the night, they don't know what to say on TV. They don't know whether to say we're losing and the generals are at fault or we're winning despite what you see with your own lying eyes. And Putin is up there completely detached from reality and threatening nuclear weapons. And my answer to you, what can you do about that? Nothing, except work for the Republican control of the House and the Senate, because we have to be serious about national security. We have to be serious. We can no longer allow the Armed Services Committee of the House and the Senate to be run by Democrats and their left-wing allies. We can no longer, you know, we spent $9 trillion over the last 5 years, 4 years. COVID is now 3 years old. Okay, we spent $9 trillion. That's the whole government outlay is $9 trillion. Might be 10. Everything. And the budget for the Department of Defense went down in real terms. It's a one-time splurge of spending unlike anything we've ever done, even in World War II. Didn't spend trillions and trillions of dollars. there might be a GDP percentage that's smaller, but it's this massive amount of money that we spent, and we didn't spend any of it on defense. Not a dime for dissent. Millions for tribute to the left, not a penny for defense. It's the opposite of the American founding. And we just got to get serious. We're not serious. And Putin knows the president is infirm. Xi knows the president is infirm. Khamenei is dying. All right, so that is in Ellis News items this morning, is that he's on death door. Reports are increasing that he's on death door. I'm trying to find that piece from news item from John Ellis. And this is where my go-to in the morning. I'm trying to find the news item on Khamenei. This matters from Ellis. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz called Russia's invasion of Ukraine an act of imperialism, plain and simple. So they're finally getting serious in Germany. Germany has topped off their gas storage to 90% full. Good for you, Germany. They're getting ready. But when Iranians, here we go. Iranian security forces have been accused of firing directly at protesters in a brutal crackdown on unrest after the death of a young woman arrested for not wearing a headscarf correctly. The protests, which began on Saturday at the funeral of Mahsa Amini, 22, ran into their fourth day and showed no signs of abating. The use of force to disperse the crowds brought international condemnation yesterday. So what? The Iranians don't care. The mullahs don't care. Scores of casualties were reported, including a girl aged 10 shot in the head. Amini was arrested last Tuesday by the morality police for allegedly violating strict Islamic dress codes. Credible reports suggest she was beaten and sustained injury to her head during her arrest, leading her to fall into a coma from which she did not recover. The source is the Times of London. The leader of Iran, the nutty Khamenei, bad as Khamenei. So they've only had two leaders since the revolution that Jimmy Carter did not stop. Those two leaders are unhinged jihadis, Shia category. They believe the hidden imam's going to come out of the well. They're a dangerous state, but they don't have a nuclear weapon. Putin, you know, I just don't know really what people who are driving to the Pentagon are thinking this morning. I get a lot of people driving to the Pentagon listening to me. And they got to go in and deal with this without a commander-in-chief. Because the commander-in-chief is thinking Brezhnev is in power. And if not Brezhnev, then Chernenko. If not Chernenko, then Andropov. And then someone reminds him Andropov died. He says, get Gorbachev on the line. And someone says, Gorbachev died. He said, well, get Yeltsin. Maybe he might think Medvedev is back. I don't know what the president thinks. He's infirm. Putin is anything but infirm. He might be nuts, but he's, as Dick Cheney told me, when he looked into his eyes, he saw a KGB colonel. That's what we're dealing with. Would he use a nuclear weapon? Yes, absolutely would. What would we do? That's the question. 1-800-520-1234. What would we do? 1-800-520-1234. Your calls are welcome. Think about the unthinkable. Been since 1945 since a nuclear weapon was used. There is no such thing as a tactical nuke. There's only nukes that are bigger and smaller. Will Putin cross that threshold? He said he was not bluffing last night. What do you think? I'm Hugh Hewitt. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.